Chapter 16. Some remarks made by Newton in familiar conversation. When a Christian goes into the world because he sees it is his call, yet while he feels it is also his cross, it will not hurt him. Satan will seldom come to a Christian with a gross temptation. A green log and a candle may be safely left together, but bring a few shavings, then some small sticks, and then larger, and you may soon bring the green log to ashes. If two angels were sent from heaven to execute a divine command, one to conduct an empire and the other to sweep a street in it, they would feel no inclination to change employments. What some call providential openings are often powerful temptations. The heart, in wandering, cries, "Here is a way opened before me," but perhaps not to be trodden, but rejected. A Christian should never plead spirituality for being a sloven. If he be but a shoe cleaner, he should be the best in the parish. My principal method of defeating heresy is by establishing truth. One proposes to fill a bushel with tares. Now, if I can fill it first with wheat, I shall defy his attempts. Many have puzzled themselves about the origin of evil. I observe there is evil, and that there is a way to escape it. And with this, I begin and end. Consecrated things under the law were first sprinkled with blood, and then anointed with oil, and thenceforward were no more common. Thus, under the gospel, every Christian has been a common vessel for profane purposes. But when sprinkled and anointed, he becomes separated and consecrated to God. A spirit of adoption is the spirit of a child. He may disoblige his father, yet he is not afraid of being turned out of doors. The union is not dissolved, though the communion is. He is not well with his father, therefore must be unhappy, as their interests are inseparable. A Christian in the world is like a man who has had a long intimacy with one, whom at length he finds out to have been the murderer of a kind father. The intimacy after this will surely be broken. Candor will always allow much for inexperience. I have been 30 years forming my own views. And in the course of this time, some of my hills have been sinking, and some of my valley have risen. But how unreasonable would it be to expect all this should take place in another person, and that in the course of a year or two? Candor forbids us to estimate a character from its accidental blots. Yet, it is thus that David and others have been treated. I can conceive a living man without an arm or a leg, but not without a head or a heart. So there are some truths essential to vital religion, and which all awakened souls are taught. A Christian is like a young nobleman who, on going to receive his estate, is at first enchanted with his prospects, this in a course of time may wear off, but a sense of the value of the estate grows daily. When we first enter into the divine life, we propose to grow rich. God's plan is to make us feel poor. Good men have need to take heed of building upon groundless impressions. Mr. Whitefield had a son who, as he imagined, was born to be a very extraordinary man, but the son soon died, and the father was cured of his mistake. I remember in going to undertake the care of a congregation, I was reading as I walked in a green lane, "Fear not, Paul, I have much people in this city." But I soon afterwards was disappointed in finding that Paul was not John and that Corinth was not Warwick. Christ has taken our nature into heaven to represent us and has left us on earth with his nature to represent him. Worldly men will be true to their principles, and if we were as true to ours, the visits between the two parties would be short and seldom. A Christian in the world is like a man transacting his affairs in the rain. He will not suddenly leave his client because it rains, but the moment the business is done, he is off. As it is said in the Acts, being let go, they went to their own company. God deals with us as we do with our children. He first speaks, then gives a gentle stroke, at last a blow. The religion of a sinner stands on two pillars, namely what Christ did for us in his flesh and what he performs in us by his Spirit. Most errors arise from an attempt to separate these two. Man is not taught anything to purpose till God becomes his teacher, and then the glare of the world is put out, and the value of the soul rises in full view. A man's present sentiments may not be accurate, but we make too much of sentiments. We pass a field with a few blades. We call it a field of wheat, but here is no wheat. No, not in perfection, but the wheat is sown, and full ears may be expected. The word temperance in the New Testament signifies self-possession. It is a disposition suitable to one who has a race to run, and therefore will not load his pockets with lead. Contrivers of systems on the earth are like contrivers of systems in the heavens, where the sun and moon keep the same course in spite of the philosophers. A man always in society is one always on the spend. On the other hand, a mere solitary is at his best but a candle in an empty room. If we were upon the watch for improvement, the common news of the day would furnish it. The falling of the Tower of Siloam and the slaughter of the Galileans were the news of the day which our Lord improved. Take away a toy from a child and give him another, and he is satisfied. But if he be hungry, no toy will do. Thus, as newborn babes, true believers desire the sincere milk of the word, And the desire of grace is in this way is grace. One said that the great saints in the calendar were many of them poor sinners. Mrs. Newton replied, they were poor saints indeed if they did not feel that they were great sinners. The Lord has reasons far beyond our ken for opening a wide door. While he stops the mouth of a useful preacher, John Bunyan would not have done half the good he did if he had remained preaching in Bedford instead of being shut up in Bedford prison. Professors who own the doctrines of free grace often act inconsistently with their own principles when they are angry at the defects of others. A company of travelers fall into a pit, and one of them gets a passenger to draw him out. Now he should not be angry with the rest for falling in, nor because they are not yet out, as he is, he did not pull himself out. Therefore, instead of reproaching them, he should show them pity. He should avoid at any rate going down upon their ground again, and show how much better and happier he is upon his own. We should take care that we do not make our profession of religion a receipt in full of all other obligations. A man truly illuminated will no more despise others than Bartimaeus, after his own eyes were opened, would take a stick and beat every blind man he met. It is pure mercy that negatives a particular request. A miser would pray very earnestly for gold if he believed prayer would gain it, whereas if Christ had any favor to him, he would take his gold away. A child walks in the garden in spring and sees cherries. He knows they are good fruit and therefore asks for them. No, dear, says the father, they are not yet ripe. Stay till the season. If I cannot take pleasure in infirmities, I can sometimes feel the profit of them. I can conceive a king to pardon a rebel and take him into his family and then say, I appoint you for a season to wear a fetter. At a certain season, I will send a messenger to knock it off. In the meantime, this fetter will serve to remind you of your state. It may humble you and restrain you from rambling. I have read of many wicked popes, but the worst pope I ever met is Pope Self. The heir of a great estate, while a child, thinks more of a few shillings in his pocket than of his inheritance. So a Christian is often more elated by some frame of heart than by his title to glory. I feel like a man who has no money in his pocket, but is allowed to draw for all he wants upon one infinitely rich. I am therefore at once both a beggar and a rich man. Sometimes I compare the troubles which we have to undergo in the course of the year to a great bundle of faggots, far too large for us to lift. But God does not require us to carry the whole at once. He mercifully unties the bundle and gives us first one stick, which we are to carry today, and then another, which we are to carry tomorrow, and so on. This we might easily manage if we would only take the burden appointed for us each day, but we choose to increase our troubles by carrying yesterday's stick over again today and adding tomorrow's burden to our load before we are required to bear it. The name of Jesus, Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. By thee my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled, Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child. Jesus, my shepherd, husband, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought, but when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. John Newton.